Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
We've sent one of them off already and it's only 2 minutes past 7. As one season ends, new challenges await, and it's amazing what you can find when you look in the archives. And where else do we start with the headlines? And the last word on Sandpaper Gate, aka cheating Australian cricketers. And it goes to Michael Vaughan, and he says, Steve Smith, I think, is a good guy who has made a huge mistake. He needs punishing, but I think this is too harsh. Bancroft, I don't really know the lad, but he was led astray and deserves to be punished. But again, it's too harsh. The other guy, I don't really care about. I like that. And apparently Darren Lehman is worried about the state of the minds of our famous three, and I'm sure we can help him on his way on that one. But we haven't been to Scotland for a long time, and even though they did actually sneak a win against the Hungarian third team last night, the one I want to talk about is the song, Tony, you only sing when you're winning. See, I don't even know it. That's what they chant regularly at stadiums up and down the country. But how do you feel if you was a Brecon City supporter? They've just actually been relegated with 7 matches still left. They're a whopping 23 points behind the club in front of them, which I've done my own work, it's Dumbarton. And so far this season, they have managed to acquire 4 points. They're going down. They're still not as bad as Berwick, but they're on the way down to Berwick's standard. And West Bromwich Albion, they haven't got enough money left to pay the players. 13 months ago, they had £40 million. Now they need an overdraft to pay. Methinks they're going the same way as Sunderland. They're on the way down, and I don't think there's a way back. We'll try again. On tonight's show, we've been speaking to Amber Owens all winter when she's been out there freezing on the Grove Fields. So we thought, well, let spring come, we'll let the sunshine start, everything would warm up nicely, and invite her into the studio. So that's what we've done. Gareth Bagley's come to look after her before he goes on his holiday to the land of Sandpaper Gate. And Dad's here as well. Not Gareth's dad, Amber's dad. And he's going to put in his little bit after half past 7 tonight. So we're going to talk, obviously, athletics most of the night, but athletics with a twist. First up, the headlines. And we start with our superstar. Amber Owens represented the Midlands team at the Home Counties International Cross Country at Woolerton Hall on Saturday. A small field, but the best in the country. And find out how she got on when she tells you herself in a few minutes' time. The Jaguars wheelchair basketball team travelled to Wales to take on the Knights on Saturday, and after a well-fought game, they came out on top. 63 points to 57. Newark Swimming Club's Jessica Reid wins gold medal in the under-14 girls freestyle, and Ben Farrow collects a silver in the 400 metres free at the Notts ASA Championships. And lots of football tonight. Cup semi-finals, important league matches, and we're going to try and keep you up to date on any early goals.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
I told myself at the beginning of the week that we was not going to talk about Australian cricketers on every single show this week. We've got to 3 out of 4.
However,
I'm still enjoying it. Darren Lehman is worried about the state of the mind about the three of them, apparently, and he thinks that somebody should be looking after them. They've been banned, the captain and the vice-captain, Tony. You've been banned for 12 months. Now, if you look at this ban, They cannot play in the Indian Premier League. They cannot play domestic cricket, but they can play club cricket. So I've been on to Pipes, eh? And apparently Steve Smith is not coming to Collingham next season. David Pipes won't have him.
That's a bit rough.
So we've already got somebody.
Sandpaper, rough, carry on.
Yeah, okay. 12 months, harsh. For other people that have been banned for ball tampering, one match, two match, or in Michael Averton's case, a fine.
I'm a bit worried about the state of mind of the ACB. Lehman's still in the job. How good a coach is he if he didn't know that was going on?
That's my argument. Entirely my argument. If he didn't know about it, he should have known about it. Either way, he should be out. Simple. So, I can't understand for one minute why he's still in that job.
It couldn't get any funnier. Well done to the ACB for making it even better.
And, yeah, people at work saying, you know, why are you laughing so much about it?
Well, because of Australia.
Gareth. If you know you cricket.
Like he's going to get in.
He's saying nothing. Over the last 5 years, they have become nastier. They've become violent.
Under Lima.
Abusive. And everything that cricket is not in the name of win at all costs. That's why all true cricket lovers are rubbing their hands together over this.
Yes, only three people knew about it.
Sorry, Gareth?
And only three people knew about it.
Well, yes, apparently only three people knew about it, which is the other thing that the Australian Cricket Board of Control are trying to hide. I think that's got lawyers written all over it, to be quite honest. So, somebody's been onto his lawyer very quickly.
Yeah, I just think... I didn't think anything could get dirtier in cricket than RHP against Bolton, but apparently it can.
It can big time. To football. Grantham Town won last night 3-0 at Staderbridge.
Yeah.
And that takes them up to third in the Evo Stick North. And all the games in hand of the clubs below them have gone, they've evaporated. In fact, Grantham are the team now that's got a game in hand. And they're on a roll. It's the first get automatic promotion. That's Altrincham. They look to be too far in front to be caught. The next four go into playoff to go into the National League North. And Grantham look well placed, Tony.
Yeah. Well, Altrincham are the money bags team, aren't they, in that league?
Well, they shouldn't be in it, should they, really?
No, but, I saw Daniel Meadows post on Facebook that he was delighted with the 3 points away from home last night, but it was a cracking result. And to take them into third, that is really a commanding position.
And Shaw Lane lost 5-1. They are going down quickly. Shaw Lane visit the Mears on Monday.
Hopefully.
And the Grantham's last two home games... Altrincham and Workington, 1 and 2 in the table. So some good games to come at Grantham.
It's also a lovely club. They deserve all they get because Speedy's doing a great job there, but they're already on a very sound base anyway at the Mears.
And I say football tonight, local football tonight. Collingham have the Floodlit Cup semi-final at home to Staveley Reserves, Station Road, 7:45 kick-off. Flowserve Reserves are in a cup semi-final against Woodthorpe. That's taking place on Calverton's ground. Flowserve's first team are at Sandiacre in a league match, an important league match because there's a lot of ifs and buts here, but if Southwell can beat Awsworth and Flowserve win at Sandiacre, all they've got to do is win on Saturday and they'd be crowned champions in front of their own supporters at Lowfield. So, as we've said before, come on, Southwell.
Yes,
not very often.
It's absolutely a massive night because I should have been there reporting live, but unfortunately the team set off too early for me and my finishing work time.
Yes, it's 7:45. It's an 7:30 kickoff, Gareth, but they all left at 4:15 because he don't leave work until after that. Read what you like into that.
I've certainly taken it badly, yeah.
So I get lumbered.
There is more good news on the Scottish front.
Cry.
Because there is a team worse off. No, I told you about this in the car park.
Yes, very quickly. Come on.
There's a team worse off than Brecon City. At the bottom of the Highland League, there is Fort William, who've played 24, won none, drawn 2, lost 22, scored 29, conceded 129, and have 2 points to the name.
And it's still a better...
Heads up, Brecon.
And it's still a better record than the national team.
And Berwick Rangers got a point last night with an 87th-minute equaliser, whereas Cowdenbeath, who are 10 points below us, lost 3-0 at home. So we might not be a non-league club after all next season.
Is there anybody that can take him to Sandy Acre? Please, somebody, Rick, come in, I'll pay the petrol. Right, guest time, serious time. Amber Owens represented the Midlands team at the Home Counties International, as we've already said, and she's come along to tell us the story of what I think was a great, great day and a great event. Just move that towards you a bit, that's it. And one day late this week, but the Athletic Club report from our roving reporter, Amber Owens.
Okay, so I don't know if Joseph Monk might ring tonight, so I'll leave him out for his race. But apart from that, I think it was just my race, so I'll have to talk about myself, and I don't really want to. Okay, anyway, it was just me running from Newark, and it was the SIAB International, which is obviously what Mick just said. And I came, I think there was 31 runners in my race, and there's a team for England, a team for Ireland, a team for Scotland, and a team for Wales. And then obviously there's my team, which was the Midland team, which I got picked to run in. So you had to be my age, and you had to obviously live within the Midlands. And then there was also a team for the North as well. And I think there was about, I think there was 31 runners in my race. And out of all of them, I came 25th, which is obviously good because they're all like the best runners from each of the parts. So it is, or everyone in the race is obviously a really good runner. So yeah, it was good.
So what we're actually doing is talking to the 25th best under 20-year-old cross-country runner in the UK. Yes, we are. And you're not. No, yes, we are. You're not denying it.
I am denying it.
No, I won't have it. Gareth, join me. Help me out a bit.
Well, yeah, the facts don't lie, do they?
The facts don't lie. If she come 25th, that was the international championship. Yes. And she come 25th, that makes her the 25th best in the United Kingdom. Mr. President, am I right or wrong?
Absolutely, mate. I wouldn't disagree with you at all.
Thank you. So
I would.
Why? How? You are. That has got to go down as your best result ever.
Yeah, I guess it has, because I've never done a competition as big as that. I mean, we've done nationals and English schools, but obviously the international was the one after English schools. So it is probably one of the biggest races I've done. But I just don't think I'm that good.
You see, you have to it's a small field because it's only the elite that qualify for it. Okay. And after all the events to get there, so you are that good. I think it's a fantastic achievement, and it ranks as one of the top performances of any sports person in this area this year. And our congratulations to you, because you absolutely deserve it. And that was your last cross-country run, probably in the UK for a long time.
I know, it's quite sad. I do like running here. I don't know if I like it in America as much. Well, I guess we'll see.
I'm hoping she's going to be back for the Boxing Day handicap.
Well, you do tend to bring them back from all around the world for that, don't you? We'll talk to Joseph in a few minutes, but Joshua Clee was also running in the English schools at Prestwold Hall, and he had a great race, finishing 87th out of 260, and he finished 5th overall for Notts. So again, more young talent coming through from Newark Athletic Club.
Yeah, and also I think he, because basically they start in pens, and I think he in his pen, because you're lined up, and I think he was 16th in his pen, and then he was 5th overall obviously for Nottinghamshire, which means he's overtook quite a few people in his pen, because he's come 5th, so he's overtaken quite a lot to actually get 5th place in Nottinghamshire. So yeah, he had a really good run.
Gareth, the cross-country season has now finally completely finished, yes?
Yep.
Yeah, look back on it from a Newark AC point of view, from the mini-league, which we all enjoyed.
Yeah,
right through to your international superstar.
I just had a look, and Joseph started the season, well, the mini-leaguers started the cross-country on the 17th of September.
Well, they always start in the sunshine, yeah, and 20-plus degree heat at Retford, don't they?
Yeah.
Struggle to work that one out. But.
Yeah. Numbers have not been great this winter from the club. But we've had some really good top class performances from those that have run, really pleased with, you know, those. I mean, just saying there, Josh, well, he came to my knowledge, and I saw him at a sports hall indoor meeting where he finished, I think, second in a what they called a like an octathlon, where he was doing all sorts of weird and wonderful things. So to see that he's actually running cross country as well is really, really good. Bodes well for the future.
And it's good for the club, isn't it, that, OK, Amble's wearing the Midlands vest at the weekend, but the fact that Newark AC members, you know, when it was announced there, Amber Owens represented the Midlands, Newark AC, the name is still there at these events.
Yeah, well, the programme shows her as Newark AC, so that's good. It's there, you know. I think if you look on the Facebook page, you'll see see the page. So, I mean, I think I've been around a long time, as you know. I think this winter, certainly since mid-November, I think the conditions have been as tough as any I've known in a cross-country season. We've had some really horrible underfoot conditions. And probably Saturday at Wollaton Park was the best conditions we've had, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was a pleasant day, and the underfoot was good to soft, I suppose, in racing parlance.
as opposed to unplayable, which is what it looked like on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
So is it a bit of a lull now before we get into track and field? Is there a few weeks off for them all?
Yeah, we've got a little period of when we start to... Well, there's a 8th of April, isn't it? There's a meeting at Charnwood.
Oh, it's a long time then. It's a big break. Right, we're going to talk track and field a little bit later on after we've talked what we've found out, and then first of all, we're going to talk to Joseph Monk coming up.
All right.
Right, to the phone lines. I'm talking to one of our favourite youngsters, Joseph Monk. Joseph, I know it's Cubs tonight, and I know we're pulling you out, so I'll try not to keep you too long. Welcome back to Radio Newark, Joseph.
Hello.
Hello there. Now, you've been on this show and told us about lots of good days at cross country, but it takes somebody that's very brave to come on this show and talk about a bad day when your sport went wrong, and it went wrong for you at the weekend. It wasn't your fault in any way, shape or form, but Joseph, if you can, just tell us about the day, please.
Okay, so I was in the starting pen and I got in the front row, and the gun went off, and 5 seconds into the race, another Notch boy who was in my pen fell over straight in front of me, and as he was falling over, caught me with his spike. The three spikes on my left leg, and it made me, I couldn't get a very good start, so I was about 200 in the race, so I just had to try and do good with whatever I had.
And that's exactly what you did, but first of all, Joseph, how is the... Has he marked you? Is there an injury there? Are you back up in full fitness yet, or is it a bit of bruising coming out?
Yeah, it's bruised up a little bit, and there's quite a bit of a deep cut, but hasn't stopped me running or doing anything that I want, so it's been fine.
So the thing is, Joseph, you put that one away, you get on, and you move on to the next one now, because everybody, my friend, has bad days. That's what sports all about, so you mustn't worry about that one. You just move on. And in the studio tonight, I've got Amber and I've got Gareth Bagley with us, and I know Gareth wants to have a quick word with you.
Hello, Joseph. Okay. I had a quick look before I came out, and I know you finished 98th, but you're only a minute behind the winner, and you know, 98 people in 60 seconds, that's a lot of people, so you did really well to it, because I understand it was quite a narrow course, because Amber had churned it up you know, the, what you would have probably run on a few weeks ago. She went and churned it up, so they had to change the course. So it, I understand it was quite narrow, and overtaking was not not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. Quite frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Swerving in and out. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that uses up a lot of nervous energy doing that.
Yeah.
And Amber's here as well, Joseph. And Amber, you've had bad days, you've had fantastic days, you've had bad days. When you've had a bad day, what do you tell the likes of Joseph when it's his first real bad day?
Well, to be honest, Joseph, if you have a bad day, I mean, it is, it feels awful at the time, but then obviously you're going to keep running and you're going to have the next competition and you're going to do well then. And, you know, the bad days are bad when you have them, but you're always going to have bad days and you're always going to have good days. So you just got to be really happy on the good days and try not to worry about the bad days. Because yeah, after a bad day, there's always going to be a good day. So you're all right.
There you are, you see, mate. Don't worry about it. You've had a cracking winter at Cross Country. What are you going to do with Newark AC in the summer? Because that's what we all want to know.
Okay, so I want to do try, because I'll be under 13, I'll get to do long the distance on the track, would mean 1,500. Also heard that half the season there'll be high jump and half the season there'll be long jump. So whenever long jump is on, I will try and do long jump as well.
Yeah, I dug the pit over for you last night, so you know, it's all nice and soft for you to land in.
Yeah.
We look forward to that. Joseph, get back to the Cubs and thank Arcala for letting us talk to you again. You've had a wonderful winter, mate, and we're all so proud of you. And Miss Fell was here last night with Tewch Reid, and she was saying what an inspiration you've been at Tewch Reid, because you've got so many people there following on from you, taking up running at Tewch Reid. They got a silver medal in the school's cross country at the weekend, and she puts all that down to you and the youngsters following you. So much to be proud of, Joseph.
Thank you.
Well done. Talk to you again soon.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
I think he's a cracking... I think he's an absolute cracking lad, and I know he was very, very down at the weekend, but, you know, we've all been there, haven't we? But when it's the first time, it's slightly hard work. Right, the next question is, when I get my paperwork sorted out, we're going to find out that Amber is in the wrong sport.
Radio Newark, the home of Newark Sport. Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. with Mick and Tony. Radio Newark, the home of Newark Sport. Missed one of our shows? Don't forget you can check out the podcasts and get the very latest sports news daily on our website at radionewark.co.uk.
Right, it's amazing, really. You sort of... the amount of youngsters that we get in this studio, Tony, and they do BMXs, they do karting, whatever, because it's what Dad did or what Mum did, yeah? And they follow on, don't they? So I got Stato to have a look at what sport Amber should be doing, because we've seen a steeplechase, we've seen a swim... Okay, at the same time, it should have been steeplechasing, but we've seen both. We know she's an excellent runner. We know she's a very good swimmer. But what is that sport that Amber Owens should be doing? Amber, do you know what the sport is?
I think I've guessed it now.
Go on.
Rugby,
you're quite right. You should be playing rugby, because you're not the first international in the family, are you?
No, I'm not the first international.
You've got a very, very famous great-granddad?
Yeah, great-granddad.
Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about, Isaac Ike Andrew Owens, for a time tonight. And we're going to test you on all this. Dad's in front of me. He knew what was coming. You can tell why he does the job he does, can't you? So, what do you know about great-granddad?
I know that he played for Wales. Obviously in the rugby, he was captain. I also know that he was one of the first people to properly get paid professionally for rugby, even though it wasn't obviously very much then. I don't know all that much. I feel quite bad. He was in the RAF as a parachutist trainer, if that helps. I don't know that much.
I mean, I've been trying to work birthdays out. I don't think you can remember him, could you?
No, I don't think. Did I meet
him? Oh, it's very close, isn't it? It's from when he passed away to Amber being born. It's very close. So we better let Gareth in on this. And I did say this is going to be sort of Gareth's bit. And
Get the right Gareth.
I've got a gaggle of Gareths here tonight. Shall we say young Gareth and old Gareth?
Not so young Gareth and old Gareth.
We'll call you Dad. Then we know where we are. We had a look at this and was quite sort of surprised that he actually played rugby union and then rugby league. So I'll go with what I've got and say if it's right or not. So Isaac Ike Andrew Owens was Welsh rugby union and a professional rugby league player in the 1940s and 50s. He played club level rugby union for Maesteg and the Royal Air Force as a number 8 and represented rugby league for Great Britain and Wales at club level for Leeds, Castleford and Huddersfield. As loose forward, you can understand rugby league. I know you come from the Whippet country and cloth caps and all that. So the roots then for the Owens family are obviously in deep in the valleys.
Yes they are, yeah. My granddad was born, I think, Pontycumar, South Wales, and sort of grew up there. I think his dad was a miner, funnily enough.
I think everybody was.
Most people are miners. But yeah, he started playing rugby, got quite good, and then the war sort of came at that sort of time, so he ended up playing in the RAF. He was a PT instructor in the RAF, parachute trainer. And then after the war, I think he played for Wales. He was captain, not Wales. He played for Leeds, but then he turned sort of professional, and they didn't like it if you went from union to league. Then, so he moved up to Leeds, captained Leeds. I think he got, if I'm right, they went to Wembley, but he lost that match at Wembley. Played for Leeds a little bit more. Then he went to Huddersfield. I think he saw out his time in Huddersfield.
He actually lost at Wembley 8-4 to Bradford Northern in the 46-47 Challenge Cup final.
I think he went to Wembley twice and lost both times.
It's a fantastic story. But I mean, going, how far can you remember? Did you ever see him play rugby?
No, I never saw him play rugby. No, because I think he finished playing rugby in 56. Was it 1956? Oh, I bought till 72. So. He was a landlord, publican in York by that time. He'd retired.
But lots of stories I've known. No doubt.
He went after the Second World War. He played for Great Britain team, and they were classed as the Indomitables because they went over to Australia again today. But instead of just a tour to Australia, it took 6 months then because they went on HMS Indomitable, which is an aircraft carrier. Got to Australia and then toured Australia, but they don't have flights or anything then. They have to go on a train, and it takes hours and hours and hours and hours and days to get from one match to another.
You used to just need a criminal record.
I mean, they have actually got it so easy these days. So you see, this is where I'm saying we should get you playing for the rugby girls, because you're obviously, it's in the blood, you should be a natural.
Have you seen her arms? You've got no chance.
Have you seen her arms against the size of those under 18 girls at Newark?
If you look at me, I do not look like a rugby player.
You could be a winger.
I could do the running, but I wouldn't stand up. They'd knock me over all the time.
She's more like the goalpost.
Poor Amber.
The bit I like, Mick, was, you know, 10,000 miles on the aircraft carrier. They land at Fremantle and they've got to go to Perth, I think it is. That's another 2,000 miles, 5 days on a train. And then they're playing, and then they've got to play a rugby tournament. But they're the most successful rugby league side that's ever toured.
The 1946 tourists were known as Indomitables. After the aircraft carrier they travelled on, they left Plymouth on April the 3rd and arrived in Sydney on May the 13th. And as Gareth has just pointed out, they landed at Fremantle and then went 2,000 miles to Sydney in five days.
Sydney, not Perth, yeah.
it's just a fantastic... I just love the story. We're going back to when he went to rugby league, and of course, it wouldn't have gone down well in the valleys, would it?
No, I think once you went from being sort of unpaid to being paid to actually play, so you go from union to league, nobody would talk to you again.
Of course, this was in the days, Tony, when rugby union was an amateur sport.
There is a very interesting documentary that you can still get on iPlayer with on the BBC about Welsh rugby union players who actually went to rugby league, and they were ostracised in their own communities when they went back. Well, you're not coming drinking in our pub, get out. Yeah. That sort of attitude. It's
worth watching.
Yes, it's an absolutely cracking documentary.
So, have we got a name for it, in case anybody out there does want
it's
to?
It's called The Code Breakers.
Code Breakers. But the only difference, actually, between rugby union players and rugby league players is that rugby league players pay tax.
Yeah, because they got paid. They got paid the money sort of backhanders to play for them,
didn't they? In 1946, he was selected to play for Great Britain in all four tests, three against Australia and one against New Zealand on that tour, scoring a try in the third test against Australia. So you see, you've got your Midlands vest. We need you to follow Great Grandad and get into a GB vest now.
Yeah, or I do need to get into a GB vest.
So, because you're not going to be the first in the family, are you?
No, I'm not.
Under 23 cross country team. That's when she'll get a GB vest.
Right, there you are. You see, you were.
Okay.
In all seriousness, it very rarely is wrong. Very rarely. No pressure at all. How do you end up in Lincolnshire? You come from the valleys, you go up north, and now you're sort of on the flatlands.
My father was born in Wales, but obviously he moved with my granddad around from Leeds to Huddersfield, and then my granddad settled down in York, and as a publican in York, and that's when my dad grew up, and then that's when my dad met my mum, and I was born in York, and then with job he moved to Lincoln, so that's basically
And that's how you've ended up being a yellow belly then?
Yeah.
You knew all that, didn't you?
Yeah, I knew all that.
You knew everything we've just been talking about. You're just keeping it to yourself.
Yeah, I am.
Lovely. Well, that's a lovely little story. That's a lovely little story there. I do like to sort of delve back and find out where the sport comes from, because you're all athletes now. I mean, the whole family is running.
I wouldn't say that.
No, I wouldn't say that either.
Well, who's going to get criticised for not being a runner?
Well, I run.
Well, she ran in the National. That's not fair.
Yeah, come on, Gareth.
Mum ran in the National.
Yes, she did.
And she got a photograph in the Daily Telegraph.
Have you ever been in the Daily Telegraph?
You know, and they say she's not an athlete.
I mean, that's cruel. I think Amber's having a go at Mum there.
I'm not having a go at Mum. She does lots of swimming. She's a good swimmer. She does lots of swimming. She goes three or four times a week to swim. And I can't swim. I just drown.
Yeah, we've seen that.
On a steeple chase course.
We've heard Dad's last on the video.
There's no water left in that. Oh, brilliant. So where did the... Because whatever you say, Dad, you do run. Where did it sort of... Where's the athletics come from in the family?
Well, Dad, it is mainly... Because, I mean, Dad used to run. I mean, he didn't used to do anything, like, maybe competitively.
At school, I enjoyed running and doing athletics, but mainly just running and sprinting. And when Amber got the chance to join Newark and have a trial there, when she was 9 years old, sister soon followed, and they've been there ever since. So it's been really good.
Dad got fed up with standing and watching, and started running to keep warm.
Talking of the sisters, they are missing tonight. I've got my name tags made as well to bring. Busy revising.
Yes. Yeah, they're busy revising.
Yeah, they've got mocks at their school they've got their GCSEs in about 2 months' time, but they've still got mocks to do this week. So. Busy revising for those tomorrow. I've had two a day all every day this week.
And we're going to lose our number one athletics reporter in, I suppose I better say the fall, means that's where you're going.
Yeah, but you're
going
to double them, aren't you, in the fall? Because you're going to have two of them, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a worry. That's one of a clue what's going off there. Is everything still in place, Amber, to go to the States?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us a bit about where you're going and what you're going to expect.
Okay, so I'm going to Mount Olive University in North Carolina. And then I think I go mid-August and I do a year of general study. And then I stay for 4 years. So then I do my course for the next three. So, yeah.
If they wanted to continue after the first year.
There's no pressure, but it's a one-year contract.
It's a one-year contract. So if the running's not up to par, she won't be going.
Will the nerves set in before you go, or are you not a nervous person?
No, I will have the nerves before I go. I know I will. But it's one of those things, if you get the opportunity, you've kind of got to take it. You've just got to do it.
What's Mum going to be like that day at Heathrow or Manchester in August?
I think, yeah, she'll be sad to see her go.
Yeah,
but
the twins will probably
be
celebrating.
There'll be so much more food in the kitchen. Yeah.
That is literally what she said. She said, "Oh, I can't wait for you to leave because there'll be so much food. We'll save so much money. It'll be great." That's what she said.
Cruel.
I know.
No wonder you was having a dig at her. We're going to talk to you right up until then, and then if the telephone bill sort of comes to it, it might even catch you. But you'll have plenty of time to do athletics.
Yeah, I mean, I've got from obviously now till August, so I do have plenty of time to like get into the athletic season. And then when I go over, because the obviously in America they're completely different, like the track season starts and ends at different times, and so does cross country. So I'll be into cross country when I go over in August, because obviously they're all different times. So I'll be like,
does America understand cross country?
Well, they don't know what mud is.
No.
I like mud as well. I'm going to miss it. I like all the mud.
You know, one or two of them that have come over to run at Edinburgh, they've not done too bad on that surface. One of them beat Mo Farah the other year. So they're quite, they're quite adaptable. But according to Linton, they don't, the courses are pretty dry and, you know, there's, in fact, he was saying that they don't do a great deal of training on grass and what have you. It's all, you know, all tempo runs and what have you. But obviously each university has different ways of tackling these things.
We wish you the best of luck, but we'll talk to you lots of times before you go, and we'll be there for the big build-up.
Yeah, every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. You've got. We're going to give you next Tuesday off.
Okay.
Going to get just one week off.
Okay.
We'll give you next Tuesday off.
And then
yours is down. Gareth's off to Sandpaper Land in a few days.
Yeah. Fly out Saturday evening. Two nights in Hong Kong and then on to Brisbane and the Gold Coast. My training partner's already out there. I've had an email from him, and he said,
"Now, don't you steal my thunder? I'm going to stop you now. In case you do steal my thunder,
right? Yeah,
because we've had a letter, Tony.
Good lord,
we do like getting letters, don't we?
Is it the bailiffs again?
Most of them criticise you.
Oh yeah,
this one's not.
I recognise your handwriting on that one.
When I opened it and it said greetings from Australia, here we go. I've got some sandpaper, a bit of DIY here. Just to inform you that Newark and Newark Athletic Club has representation in a form at the Commonwealth Games with my daughter Michelle Barnsdale, a former Newark AC member. She is volunteering as a games shaper. Her husband Julian Barnett. Was going to be helping in the rugby sevens, but he's unable to do so with a knee injury. Barney is actually perfectly suited to the rugby sevens because that's used to how he played football. That was all his best moves. My wife Andrew and I are over here at the moment and will be attending some of the events. I'm looking forward to seeing my training partner and president Gareth Bagley when he comes over. And I take it that's where you was going.
Yeah, he sent me an email and said whereabouts are you staying in Broadbeach, because I'm there at the moment, and attached is a photograph of Michelle in her volunteers uniform.
Which will be on the Radio Newark Facebook page later on tonight. So Newark AC have got representation three ways now, right there. They've got a supporter,
yep.
They've got a helper,
yep.
And they've got a competitor.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
it's not bad going, is it? No. Another 3 or 4 years for you, and then it'd be your turn. Where's the next Commonwealth Games?
Oh, now you've got
money.
It's in the UK, isn't it? I think it's a lot closer to home, because they said if you want to do the next one,
no, it's not.
Give it a miss and do it. That's just
your luck, Amber.
Yeah,
you miss the Gold Coast and get Bradford.
No, it can't be in the UK.
It was somewhere where you probably.
Wales aren't. It's not. Wales haven't got it. We haven't put in for it. We have. We got it by default.
Birmingham. Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's in Birmingham.
The Gold Coast, Birmingham.
The pinnacle of your career, Amber.
Birmingham's lovely. You know, the beach, the water.
It's not the Golden Canal.
South Africa couldn't find the funding, and they pulled out, didn't they?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so, we're having a brand new stadium at
The Alexandra Stadium.
The Alexandra Stadium is being the stands at one of the old stands is being knocked down and it's being revamped. There's going to be a warm up track, and I think the Midlands Athletics Association are trying to convince them that they ought to build an indoor area, because it looks like the NIA or the whatever it's called these days, Birmingham Arena. I think next year will be the last time the indoor Grand Prix will probably be there, because they don't really like putting the track down. It costs such a lot of money they don't get the money back on it. So,
you can remember Michelle then as a Newark AC member?
Oh, yeah, very much so, yeah.
And then
she was a very good cross country runner.
They emigrated. Barney
went to New Zealand. Went to New Zealand originally, and then they've moved on to Australia. And I think the boys were ball boys at the World Rugby. Yeah. So that's their sport, rugby.
So that'd be nice to make old acquaintance, sort of thing, won't it?
You'll
enjoy that.
Yeah.
And looking at the Newark AC star in Welsh colours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you expect them? Great things, or what do you expect?
Half a chance of meddling. I was expecting certainly to be in the top six teams. Yeah, got non Stanford is the other girl that's running, and the other two lads have both competed in the triathlon in Glasgow, in the relay. In Glasgow, so they've got the experience.
Well, when you're out there, Gareth, just remember everybody in Newark are and touring.
I'm still trying to work out whether these tickets that have all gone are just for people that want to go in a stand at the end of the event. I'm sure all round the park, I'm hoping I'll be able to just
somewhere you must go be able to see her
and watch her.
Good stuff. Excellent. Yeah. Right, coming up, we're going to talk. We're going to talk about the summer, because I want to know what great things we got on the Steeplechase track to come, and how did Newark get on last summer in the summer leagues, and where are you this time round? We've actually got a book given us to the Indomitables, a 1946 Rugby League Lions tour of Australia and New Zealand. I think Dad Gareth had pretty much preempted what I was up to tonight. That was a cracking piece of detective work there. Daughter was, not got a clue, but Dad Gareth seemed to be on the reason why I was insistent that Dad came as well. And that was obviously the reason. Cross country's finished. We love our athletics on this show. And we're moving into summer mode. For Amber, that means it's the steeplechase, and whatever night you talk to her, the first love is steeplechase, or the first love is cross country, but I think if the sun's shining and it's warm, it's steeplechase. And what I mean, with going over to the States, where's the immediate future with steeplechase for you? What's your ambition for between now and August?
Well, the good thing about going to America is that one of the coaches, because there's two main coaches, like for me, and one of the main coaches is a steeplechase coach. So obviously, and they've had a brand new track that was built, I think it was the start of last year, so in 2017 it was built, and they've obviously got all the steeplechasing facilities, and obviously there's a steeplechase coach, so he'll obviously help me with actually, you know, getting all my jumps right, and there's water jumps, I can get the water jump right, and hopefully I'll knock loads of time off for that. Because obviously at the minute we haven't got a track, so I can't practice the water jump very well. And I mean, I can practice in the sandpit with the, like, with obviously the steeplechase, but having like a coach as well that specialises in it would really help, because it'd get me improving even more. Because Stuart's a really good coach, but he coaches for long distance, he doesn't coach for steeplechase.
I think that's the reason they've picked Amber as well, is for her steeplechase and for cross country. So she's been selected by that university to run for them in the steeplechase and for the cross country. So that's what they want her for.
So until then, it's improve your times, do as many steeplechases, and just get the technical side right, so when you get out there, you've got a head start.
Yeah. And obviously as well, I've got English schools still, because I'm still at sixth form, so I can do English schools one last year. And I really want to get a good time in that and come higher up in the positions as well.
New KC then, Gareth, for 2018. I've tried to work it out and got totally flummoxed. What? It's the North of England League you're in, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Division 4 EC.
This is where I started getting confused.
Eastern Central.
Right. But you still go to Cleethorpes?
Well, that's on the east, isn't it?
But it's not central. It's on the coast.
Well, we've got matches. We've got matches at Boston, Grantham, South Leeds and Wakefield. Somebody's not coming to the first one. Going to a steeplechase fest. I mean, you know.
It's loyalty, mate.
Steeplechase
faster. Managers said that's all right.
That's okay then. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to get Becky Gallup doing the steeplechase.
No, she's concentrating on the shot.
Okay. So that's the competitive athletics for the summer then, is it? The North of England League.
Yeah. We're a Midlands club. Technically, we're a Midlands club. But about 10 years ago, we pulled out of the Midlands Track and Field League because trips to Hereford, Stourport, you know, the other side of Birmingham, and at that stage, there was a separate ladies and men's league, and so it was getting too much. We were getting half a dozen people going, you know. So we looked into if we could join the North of England League, and they said yes, and so trips to Cleethorpes, Grimsby, Doncaster, Scunthorpe, Leeds.
Are a lot easier than...
A lot less travelling. We've got the lads from Rushcliffe again signed up as higher claims. And we've got...
Just to explain...
Rushcliffe don't have a senior track and field team. And so if they can run for Newark, because they can... They just pay a nominal fee to UK Athletics, and they're classed as a higher claim. So it's a bit like Amber could go and run for Notts AC ladies, because they're in a higher league than Newark AC. So she could go as a higher claim if she wanted.
Right, so you can step up then, can't you?
Without leaving your first claim club. So it's to allow the better class athletes in the smaller clubs to get better competition if they so wish.
And it helps Newark along the with numbers as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. So and we've got two ladies as well. Young ladies signed on from Rushcliffe as well. So I think we'll hope we'll have a decent season.
Yeah. So from your point of view, Amber, it's running with the athletic club, but also running as a private individual then?
We don't cater for steeplechase in the ladies.
So
in the ladies section,
where there's an open meet, you go as Amber Owens, and Dad, can you take me to Kent or wherever?
It still has Newark AC against the name.
It still has Newark AC against the name.
She's
right.
And as it's an open event, you have to pay individually for that. The club doesn't pay because obviously it's down to yourself to pay. But what it does mean is you can have people from all over the country turning up for one competition. So the Steeplefest will hopefully be a really good competition for Amber, instead of only one or two people doing it, which she gets in the Midlands, and she might have 10, 12 people in a race.
Yeah.
And thing is, as well, it's about finding, for steeplechase, it's not like 800 metres or 1500 metres where you can go somewhere and there'll be someone that's really good, because I'll be lucky, sometimes I'll just be running it on my own to try and get a time, or I'll have someone else in it, but they might not be as good as me. And, you know, you have to go to have really good competition. You've got to be in places like Kent and London and things like that, because that's where all the steeplechasers are. Mm. And you've kind of got to look out for the best competitions that people are most likely to go to. Because, like, there's the BMC at Milton Keynes, and that attracts a lot of steeplechasers. But you've got to try and go to the events where you know steeplechasers are going to be there, so that you can get your... Because you want... The aim is to get a good time, so you have English scores at the end of the year. If you don't get the time, you can't go.
Are you driving yet, or have you got to be nice to Dad?
Well, I've been trying to drive for ages, but it's not going very well. I've failed my first test. I need to do it. I'm doing another one soon, but, yeah.
Well, you'll be all right. We don't all pass first time.
Some of us do. What about you? Didn't they have car tests in Yorkshire?
Well, I passed the second time, thank
so you. So you didn't pass first time. That's all that matters. Thank you.
Thanks to dog travel sickness tablets.
You didn't pass first time. So, Amber. Oh, Doug passed first time as well. never mind, Amber. I'm sure you'll pass it. We can't do steeplechase, so there you go.
I can't drive.
It's been fantastic tonight. A little bit of fun, and that's what it's all about. Amber, main thing is I want to bring you in, because we do thank you for every Tuesday night, whatever the weather, you're out there talking to us and keeping us up to date with what's happening at Newark AC. So we thank you for that, and normal service will resume in a couple of weeks' time.
Thank you.
Dad had obviously worked out what was up to, because he brought the book in, so that's fantastic. And Gareth, who's off on his jollies yet again. The first goal of the night has gone in, and it's at Sandy Acre, and it's been scored by Sam Agar.
Magic.
From a James Cullingworth free kick, and Flowserve are 1-0 up. So we expect him to go on and win that one quite easily. And let's just hope Southall can do their bit and set up a cracking Easter Saturday at Lowfields. We're on football tomorrow night, because finally, at last, Emma Williams is going to come and see us and tell us about the life of a lady physio in a football dressing room. So... that should be an interesting conversation. Yeah, and how it's changed from being the bucket man to the physio lady.
I bet the physio knew about the tampering.
Oh, yeah. The show of the week coming up. Doug Hall's here. So I've got to get going. We love you.